believe in yourself. Amen. So if somebody speak hurting words to you, that's the words of the enemy. That's not the words of God, because God wants to lift you up. He's in the business of building people, not breaking them down. And so they put him in the grind house, in the prison, to grind. Amen. They put him there to grind. And when they did this, they put him there. And as he pushed around, grinding the corn or grinding whatever he was doing, they put him there. And while he was doing these things, they put him in the grind house. And while he was doing it, he was exerting.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana, Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, now as we prepare to hear your word, let the Holy Ghost do as only he can do. Let him tailor the text to teach us from the text the truth that you'd have us to know. Then allow us to not only hear the principles but practice them so that we might profit from them and give you the praise. We ask it all in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the people of God said, amen. God bless you. I'm preaching from the book of Leviticus today, and I want to direct your attention to the 6th chapter and the 13th verse. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 13. The word of the Lord simply says, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated. For just a little while, I want to ask the question, is your fire still burning? Help me preach this today. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor,
is your fire
still burning? Now, if yours is, come on, give God some praise. These verses found in Leviticus, which takes its name from the tribe of Levi, which is known as the priestly tribe, gives the law of the burnt offering. If you back up to verse 8, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments and put on other garments and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offering. Verse 13 says, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. In front of the tabernacle entrance was the altar where all the offerings were made. And these offerings were burned with fire. And many instructions were given to the Israelites concerning and regarding the burning of these offerings and sacrifices. And when we look at our verse today, there are two major areas that I want to focus our attention on. The first of which deals with the compassion of God. When you look at this verse and understand it in the light that it is presented, it is a foreshadowing of Christ. Though historically it was meant for Israel and the people of God, it is pragmatically meant for the believers to understand how Jesus Christ in the Old Testament was concealed. And many of the things that were done to honor him. And so when you look at this word and you look at the compassion of God, that this fire shall never go out, let's look at it from God's point of view. The continual fire on the altar kept the altar ready for any sacrifices that would be made day or night brought by the people. The continual burning on the altar represented the fact that God was always ready to forgive. He was always ready for someone to say, Lord, I've sinned, I've messed up. Lord, receive my sacrifice. Lord, I confess my sin. He was always ready to receive from those who recognized him as the Lord, the God, the supreme maker, and come to him as only they could do for themselves and make a sacrificial offering. It suggested that God's compassion was available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so when you look at the compassion of God, whenever a person came to offer sacrifice in confession of his sins, the continual fire said God was always ready to forgive. Isn't that a wonderful thing about God? Now, you got to realize that this fire representing the compassion of God, representing the fact that God says to you, listen, I know sometimes the burden of our sins becomes so much and it's more than we can bear. And sometime it was hard to wait for a year. Sometime it was hard to wait for a special occasion. Sometime it's hard to wait for Sunday services. God is making clear that whenever you're ready to say, Lord, forgive me of my sin, my shortcoming, my mess up, my mistake, the continual burning of the fire on the altar said to God, I am waiting on you. You are not waiting on me. The compassion of God. The psalmist said it plainly when he wrote in Psalm 86 and 5, Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. That's Psalm 86 and 5. Listen, God is often more ready to forgive than men, and men are ready to confess. And so when we begin to look at this and understand this, we begin to see that these many times are people who make excuses about not being ready to come to God, being afraid of God. God is saying, listen, I already know who you are. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I already know what you've done. That's right. I already know your frailty, your weaknesses. I know your thoughts. I know everything there is about you. Matter of fact, I know before you even think the thought you're going to think. As a matter of fact, I knew it before you were ever born in your mother's womb. I knew you. And so there's nothing you can hide from God. That's why you need to be real with God, open with God, transparent with God. You need to be so real with God that you speak to him even those things that you consider to be your secret sins, your ultimate weaknesses, that sin that doth so easily beset you. Listen at this, my brothers and sisters. I don't care how strong you are. There is a weakness in you. I don't care how saved you are. There is a sin within you. John said, don't fool yourself because you ain't fooling God. All have sinned. Listen, and if you say you have, not had, have no sin, you are a liar. Truth is not in you. And so when you begin to realize God knows all of this, why carry burdens? Why carry issues? Why carry things upon you and in your spirit that God is ready to receive if you are ready to say, God, I give them over to you. The compassion of God, listen at this, knows that no matter how vile, how horrible, how terrible your sin is, if you're willing to give it up. Listen at this. Can you imagine outside the doors of our church an altar with a fire constantly burning, and it's there prepared to receive your sin offering, your burnt offering, your sacrificial offering? Isn't it good to know that when you don't want to come before folk in church, that you could ride by in the midnight hours and see the flame burning, knowing that it is a sign of God's compassion, and you can get out your car and you can go before him and you can confess and make your sacrificial offering before God and say, God, thank you for having compassion on me. See, the reason why a whole lot of folk don't want to confess is because they don't want folk to know what they've done. But I've got news, my brother and my sister, that God already knows. And God wants to take off of you what is burdening you down, what is bearing you down, what is pushing you down, what is holding you back. But you've got to be ready, listen to this, to release it. The compassion of God says, I'm here, I'm available, I'm ready, bring it to me. The question becomes, what is your excuse? I'm not through yet. I'm not ready yet. I still have a little more I'm trying to get through, process through, hold up a little while yet. See, listen, my brother, my sister, all of us in here today need to be rejoicing at the compassion of the ever-burning fire of God to receive our confession and to help us. Listen, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I do know what has happened today and what has happened in yesterday, and I'm responsible to go to God and to take care of that. Now, if I slip tomorrow, that's another day. Jesus says, sufficient for that day are the evils of that day. I can't hold out saying I'm not yet perfect, so I'm going to wait until I get myself together to confess my sin. No, if I sin today, today is the day that I go to God and say, forgive me of my sin. Because here's what you don't know. The longer you hold your sin, the heavier your sin becomes. The heavier your sin becomes, the darker your clouds become. And the more it blocks out, listen at this, the sun rays that get to you, not the sun rays that are still shining. I was amazed the first time, and it was many, many years ago, that we took off from the airport and we started making our ascent to 30,000 feet. And somewhere about 15, 16, 17,000 feet, we were climbing into some dark clouds, and you could see the lightning flashing from the windows. And many of the folk around started pulling down the shades on the windows because they didn't want to see the lightning flashing, because it seems as though we were flying right into the lightning. And yet a remarkable thing happened. As black as the clouds were, the rain was coming down, the lightning was flashing. It looked like the sun had refused to shine. But we made our ascent through the dark clouds, and over on the other side of the clouds was the sun shining brighter than it seemed it had ever shined before, shone before. And what was amazing was on the top side of the clouds, they were light, white, and fluffy. But on the underside of the cloud, it was dark, thick, and clouds that made rain and lightning come from them were on the opposite side of sunshine. Oh, I'm trying to tell somebody that though it may be dark in your life right now because of your sins, your mess ups, your mistakes, your shortcomings, I got news for you. The sun is still shining on the other side. And all you've got to learn how to do is to cast your burdens upon the Lord, and you'll see he'll cause you to go through those dark clouds. And the revealing of his son is still right where it was before the clouds gathered over your life. What a refreshing reminder it is for the believer to know I can call him up and tell him what I want. No matter what time of day it is, no matter what time of evening, no matter if we've got a crowd of people or I'm all by myself, the compassion of God keeps me ever reminded of the fact that his fire is still burning. And it never goes out. What a joy. What a peace. What a privilege. Look at this word again. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. And this is what I love about it. Because the altar was in front of the door of the tabernacle. Listen at this. You had a chance to get it right before you came on in. Just as you are, you could get it together before you came inside the doors, because his compassion was so clear. It was placed there in an ever continual mode of burning, so that even if you were embarrassed to come before men, you had no embarrassment before God. And so notice here, because I want to move further, because it doesn't stop just at the compassion of God, but then it deals with the consecration for God. Because God's compassion for us is linked with our consecration for him. You see, the compassion that he shows to us puts us in a framework of thinking that my God is worthy of my consecration, of my dedication, of that of my true and purest service and worship. And so you've got to look at this situation, because the record goes on to say, it shall never go out. Now that means, because he himself, from his standpoint, from the heavenlies, is now reaching down to the earthlies. But here's what I need you to see, that while God does his part, man has got to do his part. Now listen to this. God made a command that the fire would never go out, but he also charged man to keep the fire burning. The record in Acts chapter 28, Paul and some other men were shipwrecked on the Isle of Melita. And it was rainy and cold, and the winds were blowing. And the Bible says the barbarous people showed them no little kindness, because they lit a fire for them. And every one of them got a chance to get up to the fire and get warm. But Paul, after he had gotten warm by the fire, he decided to go look for some wood so that he could gather wood and bring it and put it back on the fire. Paul had sense enough to know that if you can't start a fire, you ought to have sense enough to keep the fire burning. But I got news for you. You got to know that whenever you do your part to keep the fire burning, there are always going to be haters. You got to have sense enough to know that there are some people who don't ever want to move away from the comfort of a burning fire, and they'll sit there all warm and toasty while others behind them need that warmth after they've gotten what they need, but too selfish to serve. And yet Paul went out, and when he got the wood, the record was there was a viper, a snake, in the woods. And I think I need to throw another thing out about snakes. Snakes love to be in dark, damp, undisturbed places. Y'all don't hear me. The fire, listen at this, was the only thing that disturbed the snake. When Paul picked up the wood, the snake didn't move. He moved them, listen at this, from one position to another. And I got news for you. Snakes don't mind being moved around.
Hey, hey.
They just want some kind of position. But listen, it wasn't until Paul dropped the wood on the fire that the Bible says that viper jumped up and bit him on the hand. And when it bit him on the hand, Paul didn't fuss and Paul didn't cuss. He just shook him off into the fire. Tell somebody, if you got snake problems, you need to put them in the fire. Oh, somebody don't hear me. If you got snake problems, you need to put them in, yeah, the fire. And then you had some folk there hating on him, say, oh, yeah, he's the devil. Look at him. God might have suffered him to escape the sea, but he wouldn't let him get away with it. And the snake has bitten him, and he's going to fall out any minute now. Because vipers had a venomous poison that within a matter of a few minutes, the body would start swelling, and it would stop the heart, and they would drop dead. But Paul kept on moving. Can I tell you, when you work for the Lord, when you're on the Lord's side, when you're dedicated to God, when you're doing what God says, it's God's responsibility to take care of his people. And when they found out he wasn't no devil, look at what they said. He must be a God. That's why you got to be careful about listening at what folks say about you. Because what I am by the grace of listen, I'm not trying to close that early. Hold on. Because we're talking about the consecration for God. The continual fire on the altar also speaks of the need of continual consecration for God by his people. To keep the fire burning requires faithful nurturing of the fire. You see, the priests had to tend to the fire. And it was their responsibility when the fire would burn for so long that they would go and get proper wood. Somebody say proper wood. Well, what is proper wood? I'm glad you asked. Proper wood is wood that's been properly dried, that's ready for immediate igniting, that's easy to burn and to catch on fire. You got some wood you can put on the fire that'll put the fire. It's called green wood, wet wood, damp wood. That have you ever been around some folk, your fire was burning? Now they're wood, but they're the wrong kind of, they ain't ready for this kind of praise. They ain't ready for this kind of fire. But they try to get, and I got news for you. If you just put some green wood, if you just put some wet wood, not on the fire, but near the fire, If it stays near long enough, it'll begin to dry out. And before you know it, it'll be ready to burn. So don't be mad when you got yourself next to some green wood. They don't want to get up. They don't want to lift up holy hands. They don't want to raise up their voice. Just let them sit next to you long enough. And before you know it, what's hot on you will start making them warm. And before you know it, they'll start moving and shaking and raising and praising and burning like real wood ought to do. Ah, I wish I had a helper in there. But listen. The Bible says that the priest had to be careful to maintain the fire. Somebody's got to be responsible for keeping the fire burning. I said somebody has got to be responsible. It ought not ever be so cold in God's house that somebody can't look around and see some fire burning. It may be in the choir. It may be on the deacon board. It may be on the deaconess board. It may be on the ministerial staff. It may be way in the back of the church. It might be on the front row, but it ought to be somewhere burning for the Lord. My time is almost up. But let me tell you what you got to do to keep the fire burning, and I'm going to leave you. You've got to have dedication and consecration. Somebody say dedication and consecration. Listen, dedication and consecration. See, you've got to be dedicated to do your part when others are not doing their part. Do you know it's many times difficult to push your way through? Many times in places and spirits and situations that confront and surround you, but you've got to focus on God to break through all of that mess and give him the praise that he's worthy of. Oh, I know y'all might not believe this, but you could have some folk looking at you, and if looks could kill. I ain't talking about in the club. I ain't talking about in the mall. I ain't talking about in the trail. I'm talking about in the church house. I mean, they look at you like you make them. Yeah, somebody seen the look. You make them sick. What's she always popping up like that for? What are you always running around like that for? What is their problem? I got news for you. It ain't your business. In God's house, why I praise him, let me suffice to say that he's worthy of my praise. He's worthy of my shout. He's worthy of my celebration. You don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. You don't know where he's brought me from. You don't know how low he's picked me up from. I'm glad. Oh, Lord. I'm glad. I ain't through with this thing yet. Tell somebody, keep the fire burning. Come on, tell somebody, keep the fire burning. I said, tell somebody, keep the fire burning. Well, preacher, how do I keep it? I can't speak for nobody else. Three things, and I'm going to leave you alone. First of all, if you're going to keep the fire burning, you got to have the word on the inside of you. You remember when Jeremiah wanted to resign, wanted to give up, made a promise he wasn't going to speak no more.
gave up his license, removed his ordination plaque off the wall, sent out a sign that said, "I'm no longer a preacher." Matter of fact, call me Mr. X-Preacher.